Before I begin this morning, I just have to share, at sunset last night, I was with Ryan Steele and Christine Seal. They are from Kansas City, Missouri, and they were here because Ryan Steele's parents, Terry and Peggy Steele, they worship about midway back here at 11 o'clock, and so when you see Terry and Peggy, congratulate them on the wedding of their son to Christina. And but we were there on just south of Clearwater Beach for a wedding last night, and it was the windiest wedding I can recall in many years, and it was very cold. And they smiled all the way through it. There was such joy that they felt. I don't know about me, but there was such joy that they had, and I enjoyed my time with them. So we wish them well today. And I'm grateful this morning for my undergraduate degree, especially. I was a psychology major, sociology major, English major, and I found that was a good background for seminary training. When I got to seminary, they wanted to repeat a lot of my undergraduate work in some of the courses, especially on the stages of human development, which I had plenty of, and so I took a lot of Bible courses in seminary. But I'm grateful for books by Eric Erickson on the 8 stages of human development. It's a primer about how we grow and change as we grow older. I'm grateful to Gail Sheehy, the author, who wrote a book years ago entitled Passages, and I felt she beautifully described the stages of life and the rites of passage that all of us go through. And on the first Sunday of this series, today's the last sermon in this series on the time of your life, I read the story of Jesus' transfiguration, and if you remember, I called it halftime, the message, because Jesus and his disciples had been in ministry for some time, and all of a sudden, Jesus took his three, of at least, Peter, James, and John up on the high mountain and revealed his glory to them, and they wanted to stay there. And immediately after that story, that transitional moment in the lives of these disciples, arguably the leaders of those disciples, the 12, Jesus goes back down from the mountain. He will not stay there. But he goes back down the mountain and immediately heals the boy. He goes straight back into the work of the church to heal, to minister, to teach, to care. It was a transition moment in the life of those three disciples and perhaps in Jesus' life as well. And so I offer this last message in this series entitled Life Transitions. And there are two readings. The first is from 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter 16. It is the story of the prophet Samuel, how he is in grief over the demise and the fall of King Saul from his reign as king, and the prophet giving up that time, and God sending the prophet to Bethlehem to anoint a new king. But the prophet Samuel is torn by this, letting go and embracing the new. And so I offer this passage. I read from, again, 1 Samuel 16, beginning at verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, for the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, rise and anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. And then in the New Testament, the passage that has been our theme text for these last 3 weeks, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, living by faith. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All of us go through turning points in life, really times that you could call transitions from one thing to the next. There are moments when we give something up in life. And when that happens, we often expect some new thing to come and fill the void. But oftentimes it doesn't come when we expect it. And if it did, emotionally, we may not be ready for it. And so there are these transitions, sometimes longer than we want them to be. And we often find ourselves anxious during times of waiting for the next stage of life to come or the next thing to happen. It's a transition time in life when you're giving up something old and hoping to find something better or something new. You may find that when you're moving forward, you grieve over that which is in the past, that which is lost, but hoping that something will come along and help you be reborn. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about this morning. Adolescence. Adolescence is a time of transition, and adolescence can span many years. The very definition of an adolescent is someone who is half child and half adult. Sometimes a young person, you know this, a young person will say something and it will amaze us because it is so profound, it is so wise, and then just a few minutes later they will do something or say something that is very immature, somewhat selfish, and often short-sighted. Now there's nothing bad about that happening in adolescence. It's part of the growth process in life that we go through. And I don't know about you, but I find it's tough to give up being a child inside, isn't it? It's hard to let go of that. Perhaps it's important we always embrace the child within us as well. Those getting married, I can tell you from last night, I saw it anew, that people that are getting married are in life's transitions. Those moments between being single and being married. And it can be exciting, but it can also be painful. Ryan and Christine, they waited a year to come from Kansas City to that cold beach, and their eyes were filled with joy. But oh, they were so glad the date was finally there, regardless of the weather. That in-between time can be difficult when you're waiting on the big day. At the same time, going through a divorce, it can be trying as well. A relationship is over, and oftentimes there is no clear-cut picture about what lies ahead. And you're looking for that during that period of time in divorce. There is this in-between time, a transition when both partners struggle with the sense of loss as a couple. They're waiting on wholeness and healing to return in their lives and perhaps even a new sense of identity. Clearly, they're waiting on a future to materialize before them. It's a painful time, that of waiting in divorce. But in time, a new sense of identity can come. It just takes time. And then there's bereavement. That's a transition time for many of us that we've been through. Someone we love dies, and you're in a difficult time. A difficult time. You have to let go, but your emotions have trouble going forward when you lose someone that's special to you. You wonder if there's a new future out there with that person who's no longer with you. New life, I can assure you, will come. But oftentimes, you're not there yet. It just takes time. But hold on if you're in a time of bereavement. The new day will come and healing will come. Some of you may remember in life when you were between jobs. Oh, how fun that is, right? You felt like you were in limbo because you had even perhaps left one business experience and you were waiting on the new position, the new job to begin. And it hadn't arrived yet, and that's hard to wait. I remember when I was in Edinburgh, Scotland, I was finishing up the first church I served. I was there for 2 years. They invited me to stay, but I knew if I stayed, I would probably never visit these shores except on vacation. And so I returned. But the 6 months before I returned, I was looking for a church. And because it was so cold there, I sent 5 resumes once a month to the 5 warmest places I could think of. And so my first 5 resumes, I'll never forget, all were in Florida. I thought, that's close to Tennessee. That'll work, God. And one church in particular was Church of the Palms in Sarasota, Florida. I applied in 1988 to be their associate pastor for education. And I had no skills in that area, but I thought, that's a warm place to be. And Church of the Palms sounds like a nice name for a church. I'll have you know, it was 25 years later, roughly, well, 20 years later, that I would finally be called to serve that church as a pastor for evangelism and their new services. Funny thing, the chair of the search committee, Maxine Colgate, I showed her the letter of rejection that she had given me in 1988. She didn't remember that, but she said, well, we're just glad you're here now. That's a long transition time, finally, to get to that church. It was a good experience there. But some of you know, you remember what that's like to be when life is in limbo, when you're moving from one thing and going to something else. Older adults, older people, they often know of the anxiety in these in-between times. I've known a number of people here over the years who have made the decision to move in to one of those wonderful retired adult living centers that we have in our area. And there is an abundance of them, and they're all wonderful places. But I've known other people who have had to move into them because they really needed someone to care for them, someone to support them as they got on up in years. They could no longer live by themselves. But whether it's an intentional move or one in which you have to make because you can no longer live at home, I can assure you that is a time when anxiety builds and even fear can come because it's a new stage in life. Someone has compared the experience we have in transitions in life to that of the trapeze artist, and it's a good illustration. The trapeze artist, you remember in circuses and those tents, they're swinging on the trapezes high above the floor, and they must go from one trapeze to the next, and there's a point in which they're hanging on, and then all of a sudden they're in the void, and they let go, And then, in a great timing maneuver, they grab the next trapeze. But there is that moment when they are hanging in the air. They can't go back. They have to go forward. They are suspended for a moment, and then they seize the new support. And life can often be like that for us at any stage, at any age. So what pastor, what do you do then when you're suspended in these transitions? Help us think about what to do. For sooner or later, all of us will go through a transition. Here are some things to consider. First, when you go through that transition, accept what is lost. And oh, that's difficult to do. Accept what is lost, what is behind. It has happened. We do need eventually to let go. We cannot go back into the past. It is in our nature to try to hold on. Oh, how we try to do that. I am as nostalgic as the next person, and I like to hang on to certain things that remind me of past experiences. But nostalgia, however, we soon forget. Nostalgia is an attitude that often romanticizes what was but cannot be again. In a modern play, there is a mother who is dying, and she says to her children, "Love me enough to remember me as I was, not as you imagine I was." A story I like especially to retell is that of the old preacher who announced one Sunday to his congregation, "No one is perfect. No one, there is not one who is perfect." At which point a man stood in the balcony and he said, "Preacher, you never met my wife's first husband." Think about this. When times were tough in the wilderness, under Moses' leadership, Moses was leading people out of Israel, out of Egypt, out of the horrors of slavery, and they were traveling in that desert march for 40 years. And every time trouble came up, you know what those people of Israel, what they cried, what their cry was? "Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back." They imagined that their past was trouble-free. They forgot the horrors of life in Egypt under Pharaoh. Transitions in life, they always lead us forward. We cannot go back against the arrow of time. We must go forward. And so first, accept what is lost, what is behind. As difficult as that sound, accept what is lost. And then secondly, remember that God is able to hold on to you in the in-between times. When you are on that trapeze and you are suspended in the air, God is there with you. God is able, not only in the past, not only in the future, but in those transition times, God is with you. When you are stressed out about something, when you're waiting on the phone call of a loved one to find out how they are, or you're waiting on the reports of a medical test, those are times, oftentimes, that those who are professional mental health counselors, they'll tell you, those are times in the transitions when you're waiting that people say, "Those are days when I lost my faith." Let's be honest, there are times in life in which it seems that faith flies at half mast. But when that happens, remember, God is still your refuge and your strength. Maybe this story speaks more to the point. There was a pastor named Keith Brown. Now, you don't know Keith Brown, but he was the pastor of a really good church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, the Presbyterian Church of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And one Sunday morning, Pastor Keith decided he would mingle in the coffee hour between services. And there it was, he had a chance to talk to one of the longtime church members there, Frank Shadler. And Frank Shadler, on the lapel of his suit coat, he had a pin, and the pin had a bulldog on it, the symbol of a bulldog. And Pastor Keith did not realize that Frank had gone to work for Mack Truck. And he also didn't know that the symbol of the bulldog is the symbol for Mack Truck. It's their logo. And so he said to Frank, he said, "What does that bulldog on your lapel of your jacket, what does that bulldog stand for, Frank?" And Frank said with a twinkle in his eye, he said, "Well, Pastor Keith, I like to think about that bulldog as standing for the tenacity to which I hold on to Jesus Christ." And Pastor Keith said, "Well, that's a wonderful thing to imagine." But he said, "Frank," he said, "your theology is lousy." He said, "You see, it shouldn't stand for the tenacity to which you hold on to Jesus Christ. That bulldog should really represent the tenacity of which Jesus Christ holds on to you. For you see, Frank, there will come times, moments in life when you cannot hold on to God. There are moments in life when you cannot and will not be able to even reach out to God or perhaps even feel like praying to God. And those are the times, Frank, when God holds on to you and when Jesus Christ intercedes on your behalf when you don't have the words. Because he has the tenacity of a bulldog and he will never, ever let you go." Well, then thirdly, finally, when you experience those transition times between yesterday and tomorrow and they come, go ahead and anticipate the resurrection and the victory in advance that is promised. Even when you can't feel it's coming, know that it's there. Trust that God will get you through and that there is a resurrection in the future from whatever you're facing. This reminds me of the Old Testament story we read this morning of old Samuel the prophet. He was grieving over the demise of King Saul. King Saul's time was passing, and he remembered the glory days of anointing him. And Saul had been a great king, but he had turned away from God and lost God's blessing, and the prophet Samuel couldn't seem to get over it. He did not know what to do, and God sent him to Bethlehem to Jesse's house that was full of sons. And right in the midst of the prophet's disappointment and sorrow, it was there that God pointed out to Samuel hope. He pointed to the shepherd boy out in the field who would become king. He pointed to David. The reign of one old king was ending, and the prophet was grieving over that, but a new king was coming. Sarah Patton Boyle, in her book, The Desert Blooms, she writes about her experience in retirement. She says, "It wasn't all about excitement when I retired. I remember when I was 73, she said, I was depressed in retirement. Loneliness and inactivity. Finally, I couldn't do all the things I wanted to do in the hours of the day, and I became bored. I was in despair." And then she said, "In the struggle of all of that, I learned how to redirect my life, and I became more aware than ever of the grace of God in retirement." And she writes about her experience in that book, The Desert Blooms. This is what Susan Boyle says. She says, "I felt more alive as my 74th birthday rolled by than I had when I was young. Increasingly, I saw new possibilities that were there in my life that I hadn't noticed before. I had been given by God a mini resurrection at 74 years of age." That is my prayer for you this morning. That's what I'd wish for anyone who is in life's transition moments, that we would all learn to let go and remember God is always hanging on to us. That resurrection power is there for each one of us. Amen.